Matthew 24, for the verse. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Talking about the kingdom, talking about the heavenly things, we have here reference to the heavenly body, the sun, the moon and the stars. And I know we've identified this as being the ruling authority, you might say, of this world being cast down. But the Spirit of God does use the figure of the heavenly body. And I would like to spend a few moments to consider a few scriptures in connection with those. You know, when God made the world, He had eternity before Him. And I believe that He translated in this creation pictures of eternal things. And we have many references in the scriptures to those heavenly bodies compared to the saints in different positions. Let's read the Psalm 19. Psalm 19, the first verse. The heavens declare the glory of God. So we can think on a starry night, and you look up in the heavens, and you see those multitude of stars, unnumbered stars. God has a name for each one of them. And you marvel, and you our believer that there is a Creator God, and just the dimension of it all speaks of His power, the glory of God declared in the heavens. I'm sure there's more as we consider the heavenly bodies to consider the glory of God, and we'll get to that. If we just read on for a moment, day unto day uttered speech, and night unto night show it knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Whether you're in China, Australia, in the island of the Pacific, the North Pole, wherever you are, you can look up into heaven. And there's the sun, the moon, and the stars. And they have a message from God, making us responsible to know that these bodies have an author, which is God Himself. Verse 4, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, in them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. So man, as a creature of God, is responsible to know there's a God. It tells us that in Romans chapter 1. Of course there is a God. Science wants to speculate as to the origin of the universe because it doesn't want to receive the fact that there's a Creator God and He called the things into being by the power of His Word. The believer just rests on what the Spirit of God tells us in the Word of God. God spoke, and there it was. Psalm 33 tells us that. But it tells us here, verse 4, as to in the heavens, that we can't measure, and the scientists have talked of billions of years and light years to travel over here and over there, and that star over there is so much bigger than this and that. It tells us in the Scripture, in them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. That's what God has done. God has created a heaven, and He's made that to be a tabernacle for the sun. And we are the spectators of that. And sure enough, we find that when the sun rises in the east and rises up in the sky, you can't see the stars anymore. They just disappear from the glory of that one sun. It's wonderful in English it works. You know, the sun S-O-N and the sun S-U-N. It doesn't work in all languages like that. But, you know, what a beautiful picture the sun is of the sun. Because when he appears in glory, there's no other glory to be beheld but his glory. And notice in the next verse it says, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. Oh, there's the Lord Jesus, the bridegroom, as a strong man, the one who was crucified in weakness. The strong man, he's coming to establish his kingdom, to rule in righteousness. He comes forth out of heavens, and his circuit is unto the end of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Nothing is hid from him. He knows everything, and he's going to have everything his way. But he comes out of heaven as a bridegroom, and it says out of his chamber, of the bridal chamber. He comes out of heaven with his bride. What a wonder that there's one to accompany him when he comes in glory. One brought out of the earth. One saved by his grace, by his crucifixion, to be manifest in glory with him. Those in which he's going to be admired, tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Be glorified in his saints and admired in all them that believed. He's the one to be admired. So here in the 19th Psalm, God speaks of the heaven, speaks of the sun, speaks of it as a bridegroom. He's giving us pictures of one greater than the sun who's going to light heaven and earth with his glory. It tells us in the book of Revelation that the sea doesn't need the sun. The glory of God has lit the city, and the Lamb is the light thereof. No more need for the sun. Look at Song of Solomon. Chapter 6. Verse 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? We know in the Song of Solomon refers a lot to Israel, and God will put his glory on Israel, an earthly nation, to manifest his character during his reign. But we can also apply it to the church. In my French Bible, it says, who's this one that shines forth like the morning, beautiful as the moon, pure, like the sun? Isn't that something that you and I, sinners lost in sin, to be manifested in the likeness of the Son of God? God wanted to bring many sons to glory, and he's going to bring them to be in the full likeness of his Son, pure like the sun. You know, when the sun is darkness, obviously the moon is going to be darkened too, because that's where the moon gets its light, from the sun. And so the church in Israel, manifested in glory, be reflecting the glory of that one who's their Redeemer. Israel's Messiah and the Savior of the body, the Lord Jesus, the church. And she comes with banners as an army coming out of heaven. I've enjoyed that in connection with the church. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for a moment. My brother was saying that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And if we go to the following verses, we have the mystery of how our bodies are going to be changed. But we have in 1 Corinthians 15, in reference to the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15 and 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. You know, you eat meat, you know, chicken and fish and beef. It's meat, but it's different texture. And so human flesh is also of a different texture. And though flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God, flesh and bones will. Because the Lord Jesus in resurrection, He had flesh and bones. He had incorruptible flesh, immortal flesh. And that's what we have in the mystery following in the 15th chapter. Our bodies are going to be changed. And our flesh is going to become incorruptible and immortal. And so in the 15th chapter it says, verse 40, there are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. We know that heavenly bodies, what characterizes them is the emanation of light, the character of God in light. And so it says here, there is one glory of the sun, unmatched. Scientists will tell you the contrary, but your eye will deny that. You can look at the stars all you want, but you can't look at the sun like that. The Apostle Paul was blinded. It was a light greater than the light of the sun. He couldn't see anymore. That's the glory of the Lord Jesus. And God has put the sun, S-U-N, in the heavens as a picture of His Son, S-O-N. And you can't look at that glory for a long time, because it's just going to blind you. God made it that way. So there is the glory of the sun and the glory of the moon. And as we've noticed, that the moon doesn't have any personal glory. It has reflective glory. How we beholding with an open face the glory of the Lord are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. There's reflective glory. The one who's before you is the one you're reflecting. And if we're occupied with the Lord Jesus, and that's the one we're contemplating, that's who we're going to be manifesting. And then it says, for one star differeth from another star in glory. And that's visible at night. You can look up in the heavens and you see brighter stars and weaker stars, but they're all stars, you know. So also is the resurrection of the dead. I've enjoyed this very much in connection with the resurrection of believers. You know, Hollywood has its stars. And you read a lot of corruption about these stars. That's the glory of the world, tainted with so much dishonor to the God who made them. But these stars here, there's the stars of God, the stars of the morning like we sing. And they're a reflection of God's glory. And so is the resurrection of the dead. And the stars differ in glory from one star to another. And I believe in the resurrection, we're all going to be stars. We're all going to have glorious bodies. But perhaps we will not have the same measure of glory. Think of the Apostle Paul, who died as a martyr, and he lived and he suffered and was in prison. And there's a reward for him in glory, I believe, for that. Let's look at a verse in Psalm 147. Psalm 147. You read verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. I enjoy the fact that He calls His sheep, each one of them, by their names. And He has a name for all these stars. And He knows you as a sheep now, and as one shining in glory with Him in resurrection. But if you connect the previous verse, verse 3, it says, He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of stars, and calleth them all by their names. I've enjoyed seeing these verses together, where the Lord speaks of suffering, broken hearts, wounds, which is a portion of many of us through the circumstances of life. And then he speaks of the stars. Well, the Spirit of God connects this thought together with us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In chapter 3 we have reflecting the glory of the Lord. But in chapter 4, in the end of the chapter, it says, verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4:16, "For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed by day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know, you can see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and there's a day coming when you won't see them anymore. And there are things that you can't see now that are going to be manifest for eternity. And that's the real sun, S-O-N, and the real stars in resurrection. They're going to be eternal. And we have in this portion here reference to our condition in this world. Light affliction, but for a moment. And, you know, when you're going through affliction, I know moments tend to drag on. When pain is there and sorrow, time doesn't go by as quickly. We feel. Our life is but a vapor. But in affliction, seems to be longer than that. Those of us that are on in years, we look back, "Oh, I'm 65. I just got here. I barely got here yesterday. And I'm kind of going down." Just like that. And I don't want to minimize anyone's suffering or wounds and things that they're bearing in their hearts, broken hearts. And the Lord has concern for that and sympathy and comfort. But he would remind us that he's not indifferent to that, and there's an answer in glory for that. The answer in glory here, I don't see that connected with service or the amount of people that I brought the gospel to, or how many sermons I preached, or how many books I wrote, or whatever. I believe it's connected with suffering in this life and manifesting the character of the Lord Jesus. We had that yesterday in the fruit of the Spirit, long suffering. I know some are suffering long. I don't know who you are, but some are suffering long. And the Lord knows. The Lord knows the weight and the pain and the extent of it all. And he has an answer in glory for that. He knows you by your name. He knows how many hair on your head you have. He knows what sorest trial means. He's been through that. And perhaps it's not my case right now. I can't complain. I'm very thankful for the Lord's mercy. But should the Lord allow things in our lives in the coming days, may we remember he refers to them as light afflictions of a moment. And in answer to that, he has a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I can't show you that now. We can't even see the Lord with our eyes. We can feel his presence. We can't see him with our eyes, but we'll see him with our eyes. One who was glorious than the sun. You know, the Apostle Paul, he was blinded because of the glory of the Lord. To be able to behold the glory of the Lord physically, we can do it spiritually now. To be able to behold the glory of the Lord physically, we need to have a changed body. We need to have changed eyes, and then we can behold his glory. What a wonder, brothers and sisters, that momentarily, and we say, before the meeting's over, before the day's over, before the week's over, before the year's over, I don't know when. But it's by this little vapor that's going by, which is called our life. Momentarily, the moment is going to be over, and we're going to see Him. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye in a moment, and we're going to behold that one. And we're going to see the nail prints in His hands, in His feet, in His side. The Apostle Paul, he didn't see that. He just saw a light, and he heard the voice. We're going to hear the voice. We're going to see His face. We're going to see the holes in His hands, in His feet, in His side. Well, may He encourage us, dear ones, those eternal things that are coming through resurrection, the glory of the sun, eternal glory, the moon, I think of the church reflecting His glory for eternity, and the individual believers, the stars varying glory one from another, not due to ability or gift, is how in your life you glorify the Lord through the trials and difficulties, to the broken hearts and the wounds that He allowed you to go through, that you glorified Him in that way. May the Lord bless His word to our souls.
170. And shall we see Thy face, and hear Thy heavenly voice, well known to us in present grace, well may our hearts rejoice. 270.
And shall we see Thy face, and hear Thy heavenly voice, well known to us in present grace, well may our hearts rejoice.
Sing hymn number 202. What will it be to dwell above? 202.
What will it be?
Before we close, 1 Corinthians 2, a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Let us pray. Our God, our Father, we're humbled to think of our God, how much thou hast given, our God, the largeness of thy heart. Thou didst empty heaven, Father, to send thy Son into this world. And when we think of what the Scripture says, the hope that is set before us. We've had it brought before us a little bit this afternoon, our God. We ask Thee that Thou wouldst give us to lay hold on eternal life, to realize, Lord, of what's before those of us who belong to Thee. O blessed God, we thank Thee for the privilege. We thank Thee for the Spirit of God that opens up this blessed book to us. And we ask Thee that in the remainder of our time together here, whether in the meetings or whether visiting with one another, that we might be encouraged in divine things to go on. So we pray for one another, and we thank Thee for this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.